Well, it's called the Allies of Humanity. Next up, our main event, Marshall Vion Summers. Is there truly an extraterrestrial presence in the world today that is not a friendly visitation? Marshall explains next on Coast to Coast AM. Marshall Vion Summers, author of more than 20 books, his message presents a new vision of humanity's future in a larger universe of intelligent life and an urgent call to prepare for the great waves of change now facing the world, which include resource depletion, catastrophic climate change, escalating conflict, as well as intervention by forces from beyond this world. Here he is on Coast to Coast, Marshall Summers. Hey, Marshall, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Good to have you with us. Hey, tell me a little bit more about you, because what we're going to talk with you about tonight, of course, and your thoughts about the Allies of Humanity, truly an incredibly fascinating story. But I want people to get a perspective, Marshall, on just who you are and what we're talking about here tonight.
Well, I've been involved in a process of revelation here for the last 25 years, receiving a vast body of teaching from an angelic source on humanity's future in space, our future within a greater community of intelligent life, what humanity is going to need to see, to know, and to do to be able to prepare for this next great threshold in our evolution. And also what we need to learn about our one spirituality and the spiritual power that we have within us that will play a very critical role in how we deal with what is happening on our own world right now, and how we will be able to discern those various forces in the universe that will help us and those forces that could hinder us.
How did these briefings come to you?
The briefings came to me in a very interesting way. For many years, I had been in contact with the angelic presence that has been providing me this ongoing teaching, and I was asked to receive a set of briefings, a set of communications from an extraterrestrial source. Now, prior to this, I had just finished writing Greater Community Spirituality, and in that book, there is a chapter on who serves humanity, and there was a mention of the Allies of Humanity, and that was the first time I had ever heard that mentioned. And I was asked then, within 2 years from finishing that book, to receive a communication from these allies.
Now, did this come in the form of an abduction of you, or just direct telepathic?
No, the actual contact with the allies, which was very different than the contact with the spiritual presence, was not in my vicinity at all. It was like I was talking to someone very, very far away, as if you were connected to some kind of channel, spiritual channel, through which you could communicate with these beings who are not visiting the world. They're not present here within our world. And so I began to receive this communication, this set of briefings, and the first two briefings came at the beginning of 1997, and then almost a year passed before the next four sets of briefings came. And then in 2005, the second set of briefings was delivered to me from the Allies of Humanity.
Who are they, the Allies?
The Allies of Humanity, and this is a very important point, they represent a group of off-planet observers who are observing the extraterrestrial presence that is in our world today.
From different planetary systems?
Yes. The Allies represent, they're emissaries from several different free races within our galactic neighborhood, and they have come to witness the extraterrestrial presence by other groups who are interfering in human affairs, who are within our world and have been here for some time. And they've provided us these set of briefings to educate us about the realities of life in the universe, who is in our world today, what they're doing, what their purpose is, and what we need to know in order to prepare to engage with various kinds of races that are certainly within our world today and will be visiting us in the future.
Well, now, these Allies of Humanity obviously then are well-intentioned, good entities. How many different planetary systems are they from?
I believe they represent seven systems, but they don't give any names because they're really operating in a clandestine manner in order to provide these briefings for us. So they do not reveal their identity. They do not reveal their planets of origin or where those planets might be. Of course, we know so little about the universe in which we live that even if they had given a description, it probably would not have made much sense to us. But I think the Allies' main purpose as an association of free races is to warn us not to fall into the wrong hands.
Now, will they physically help us or merely just warn us?
No, they're only going to warn us. And they make an important point about this, is that we have the power within this earth right now, given who is visiting our world from beyond the world, to establish our own rules of engagement and ethics of contact. We have not been overwhelmed yet by any foreign race. But there are certain key points of wisdom that we need to know about these the primary engagements that are happening with humanity at this time. And the Allies briefings provide us the key information that we need to know in order to tell friend from foe what are the rules of engagement in our local universe, what are races allowed to do and not allowed to do when engaging with a world such as our own.
All right. So
how we need to proceed.
Is this almost like a planetary system of, like in Star Trek, the galactic group that gets together and forms policy?
Well, it's interesting in describing our local
Federation,
universe.
I guess.
Yes, the Federation. In describing our local universe, the briefings reveal that the only governing body governs trade and trade routes, and that we live in a fairly well inhabited part of the universe. And within this region, for example, outright invasion of planets is not allowed. And so if anyone wants to gain access to our world or establish influence over us through actually intervening in our world, they have to do it in such a manner that we at least demonstrate to outside observers that we have our approval. In other words, they have to gain influence here through persuasion, fundamentally. And so the races who are actually intervening in our world, who are not the allies of humanity, are not military forces.
Now, there's a big difference, Marshall, between intervention and visitation.
Yes.
And you're saying there's intervention going on here.
That's right. We're dealing with several groups of multiracial organizations functioning in our world without human approval, without human awareness. Human authority has been circumvented. We don't know who's here. They have not disclosed their purpose, their intentions. They have not disclosed the various methods that they're employing here. And so we're basically the unwitting observers of whatever might happen to us.
What may be going on by them?
What may be going on by them?
Yes, what are they doing?
The briefings talk about four fundamental activities of what they call the intervention. And those activities include influencing individuals in positions of power, government, religion, and commerce primarily. The second is to establish a physical presence in the world. And this is when we begin to talk about bases.
And is this a chronology you're giving me as well?
No, this is a set of coordinated activities that this intervention is engaged in and has been engaged in for some time. The third is to influence our perception and particularly our religious values and inclinations. And this is a really interesting area perhaps we can talk about tonight. And the fourth is creating a hybrid leadership for humanity through a genetic program. And this is when we begin to talk about taking people against their will and so forth.
Okay, so this intervention is not welcome because we really don't know what's going on, and it's not friendly.
Well, I think it's demonstrating that it's operating here certainly without our approval, and the activities it's engaged in do not demonstrate a friendly intent.
Well, much like David Jacobs has said in his work, that
he
believes that there's some kind of awkward and strange reason why they're here.
If they're visitors, then they would be welcome to be here by us, who are the hosts. We would understand their intentions. Their intentions would be clearly stated.
And should be honorable.
And we would agree to their presence and whatever activities they would want to conduct within our world. And certainly none of that has happened. Now, the whole notion of influencing people in positions of power for unstated purposes, establishing a physical presence in a world that is not your own,
Well, now,
and clearly the abduction phenomenon, which is a very dark and difficult subject to deal with, all indicate that this intervention is following classic, kind of classic intervention strategy. And if we know, look at the lessons of intervention from our own history, we see that intervention is always carried out for self-interest.
Well, you know, we get a lot of reports from people who claim to have been abducted that they see these so-called alien grays, the big head, the big eyes. One has to conclude, if all these people are seeing this or this is happening to them, that maybe these people who are have the intervention, that that's one of the races that might be coming here. Is that possible?
Yes. In fact, there's one of the briefings is dedicated to describing the organization of those beings who are participating here, and they represent several different races functioning in a hierarchical system. And so what we often see is sort of the worker class, the classic gray alien.
The drones, as I call them.
Kind of drones, and they're bred for specific purposes. These groups do not practice, they're not free. Individual freedom is unknown to them. They function in a hierarchical manner. They're extremely strictly controlled from within, and they're functioning here with impunity in our own backyard. It's like having a prowler in your house, and this prowler continues to be in your house. And I think what's happening is we're really not asking the right kinds of questions about this presence. There's a lot of emphasis, for example, on a government cover-up. But there's very little emphasis on the extraterrestrial cover-up.
Now, they clearly, though, have the upper hand. If, one, they're here and doing these things to us, how are we going to fight that?
Well, the briefings make a very important point, is that this group represents a very small group of individuals. They're not a military organization. They're a commercial organization.
You're talking about the group that has intervened?
The group that is intervening. And that we're talking about actually several different groups that are very similar to one another, competing here for influence. If you could imagine the Portuguese and the Spanish competing for influence
in
South
America. Are they doing, Marshall, for example, the cattle mutilations?
Yes, the cattle mutilations is part of their genetic program, actually.
And some say they may be doing the same to us.
Well, that's an interesting point. One abductee told me that, he said to me, Marshall, you must know that not all abductees are returned.
Well, that's
he made a very serious point about that. Based upon his own experience.
So why don't these allies of humanity who know that this is happening, why don't they step in? Why don't they get these others out?
If they step in, then we're talking about a second intervention by a second group of nations.
But freedom fighters.
They would then have to establish warfare with the group that is here already. And I think the one of the key points that the allies make is that ethical contact requires non-intervention, because if a race intervenes here and tries to influence humanity, it has to, in a sense, take control of humanity. It has to control human perception, human feelings, human motivations, and so forth. And the allies say if any race attempts to do that is basically here to gain access to the world for their own purposes, and that the allies are not equipped nor intend to defend humanity militarily against any other race. But what they also tell us is that humanity has the power to thwart this intervention, which is being carried out by a relatively small group of individuals. And the reason that we have the power, and this is something that we would probably never know, being still grounded here on the surface of our world, is that if the intervention is shown to be unwelcome within our world, it will have to withdraw. And this is why so much time is being spent by these intervening forces to gain human allegiance, to establish a network of representatives and apologists, to establish influence in the corridors of power, because they need human allegiance or human recognition in order to function here with impunity. And because there are rules of engagement that are established within our local neighborhood of space that prevent a direct conquest of worlds, particularly such as our own.
Don't tell me we're a cookbook for them now.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, I mean, they're here for the same reasons that, you know, we travel all over the world. I mean, they're looking for resources. It's important to remember, and the Allies briefings make this clear, as does the teaching in the greater community way of knowledge, that all races in the universe are seeking resources. And when you become a technological society, your need for resources is even greater.
Sure.
And so if you outstrip your world's resources, such as we are doing right now, it forces you then to go abroad to search for them, and that engages you in a very complex and difficult set of engagements with many other competing races.
Well, they're coming to the wrong planet if they want resources for their own, aren't they?
No, actually, this planet is a biological storehouse. I mean, they are not looking for the kinds of resources that we're concerned with right now. They're looking for the building blocks of life, and this world being as biologically rich and diverse as it is.
And it is.
It is actually a treasure. I mean, it's a gem in the universe, and such worlds are rare. And they're seeing the native races despoil this planet, despoil its fundamental wealth, and this is one of the things that has caused intervention.
The allies who are out there watching this happen, I assume those that are already here, the intervening ones, they must know about that, right? They know that the allies know that they're here?
Well, that's an interesting story because it took a whole year for me to receive the first set of briefings, and the second set were delivered to me in a 24-hour period. And the reason that they were delivered in a 24-hour period was that the allies were being driven out of our solar system. They had actually taken up a secret position in our solar system, never revealed to me. But they were being forced out, and so they had to deliver the remainder of their briefings as they were fleeing, fundamentally. And now they're no longer in our proximity. So actually, the publication of the first set of the Allies of Humanity briefings actually endangered these observers and forced them to leave. And they describe this in the second book of briefings as a preface, where they talk about their situation and the requirement for them to leave our vicinity and to no longer function as observers on our behalf.
How many people have been told this, the message, Marshall, like you? Just you, or are there others out there?
Well, the briefings were sent to me, and I think they were sent to me because I have been in the process of receiving this whole teaching on greater community spirituality and life in the universe. But other people are coming to the same conclusions, that these forces that are functioning behind our backs, that are carrying out these surreptitious activities, really are not demonstrating good intentions or ethical behavior. And so I think the fundamental wisdom that the allies are providing to us is becoming recognized by many people. But the briefings themselves were delivered to me, and I think there's a practical reason for that. I'm asked this question often. If they were delivered to many people, then you would have many versions. If they were delivered to many people who didn't know each other, then you would have really different versions. So,
I assume you are a human. You're not some ET.
Oh, I definitely am a human, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you sometimes pinch yourself, say, why me?
Yes, I have. In fact, receiving the briefings was really a difficult thing for me to do, and to face what they were actually saying was a real challenge, and I think the information is challenging and yet ultimately very inspiring.
We're going to get into the messages from the Allies of Humanity in some of the 10 points that are out there, the summary that you were talking about in both your works. These entities that are intervening, if they fully were aware that we wanted this to stop, I mean, would they go away peacefully or would we really have a problem?
Well, they're non-military forces. And they're facing an overwhelming odds. We're 6.5 billion unruly, unpredictable, conflicted individuals in our world. And they're a very small group of intervening forces. And so they have quite a bit to contend with. They would probably have to leave. They would probably be forced by outside influences to leave, and we can talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get into that and also the summary of the Allies of Humanity. At least somebody's trying to watch out for our back, huh? And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Marshall Vian Summers, and we're talking about his incredible work about what he calls the greatest opportunity for human unity. Now, you put these in the two sets of briefings. What went on with the first between that and the second, Marshall?
Well, I was in the process between the two of bringing out the briefings themselves, and I had several other books that were in the process of being published as well. And so there was a gap, an interesting gap, that I think allowed me and the first people to read the briefings to really begin to digest what they were saying, because though the briefings are very clear and easy to read, they contain an amazing amount of wisdom. And the wisdom that they're presenting us is really telling us what life is like beyond our borders. And if I could take a moment to perhaps give the listeners a picture of what they're describing. They describe life in the universe as, and I quote them here, as a competitive environment on a scale you cannot imagine, which means that there are settled worlds, and then there are races such as those intervening in our world who literally live in space. They do not have home worlds. And there's commerce that's both legal and illegal going on within our local universe.
Well, it's happening here, too.
And it's happening here, too, as above, so below. And they coined the term the greater community, which doesn't mean that everyone is united and together. It's just more of a greater community of intelligent life, representing races at all levels of evolutionary development, technical development, spiritual development, psychological development, and so forth. And here we are, a kind of maiden world, what they call an emerging world, and we know very little about the neighborhood into which we are emerging. And I think there are many people today who feel a connection with this greater community. They have an innate spiritual connection. They're connected somehow to the whole phenomenon of contact. And I know many of your listeners probably can relate to this. And I think it's true for all of us who are involved that we're involved in a very big evolutionary step right now. And how we choose to proceed and the decisions that we make regarding both contact and how we manage ourselves here on Earth are going to have a huge influence on the outcome that we're all going to experience.
These entities that are here now under this intervention, may they have been the same ones here if you believe in the fact that humankind may have been seeded, may have been genetically manipulated?
Well, the briefings make an important point by saying that the intervention that we're experiencing now has never occurred before, and that the forces who are here today are not the same as those various different exploratory groups that have visited our world throughout its history.
Okay.
And I'd like to...
That's a big difference.
It is a very big difference. And so what we're dealing with now are aggressive and exploring races, resource explorers fundamentally, who position themselves as spiritually enlightened and technologically advanced and benign because that's what we want and expect from any race that we might come in contact with. But the briefings themselves tell us that for races such as our own, our first contact with intelligent life in the universe will be with resource explorers and economic collectives. And this is just the nature of things in the universe in which we live in. We are like the native peoples being discovered for the first time by outside forces.
How soon is this, or how long has this intervention been going on?
Well, the intervention appears to have gone into a kind of final or mature phase after World War II, particularly with the development of nuclear weapons. But it's been going on for some time before that. We know that there's been an extraterrestrial presence actively in the world for 100 years. And so since World War II, according to the briefings, this has gone into what is called the mature phase, which is this is the phase at which the intervention will try to establish human bonding, and will try to establish a physical presence in the world that is permanent in order to take advantage of the dilemmas that humanity is facing right now. And this is very important in terms of the timing of this extraterrestrial effort in our world, because we're facing great waves of change. We're facing resource depletion. We're facing environmental decline. We're facing immense problems in how we're going to provide for ourselves and our ever-growing population in the world. And these problems are throwing humanity into ever greater risk of competition, conflict, and war. And for a very small intervening group to gain ascendancy here, it is necessary for the strongest powers in our world to be weakened and to be thrown in conflict with one another. And so the weaker that we are, the more we're in conflict with one another, the more depleted our resources become, the greater the power this intervention has to present itself as the saviors of humanity, as the one power that can save humanity from itself. And this represents the agenda, according to the briefings, of this extraterrestrial presence that's in the world today. And here our world could be overtaken without firing a shot, because in the greater community in which we live, weapons is not the emphasis. It's the power of persuasion in the mental environment. So these groups who are here do not possess great weapons, but they have tremendous skill in influencing thought and perception.
Are they physically here? I mean, are they walking among us?
Oh, they are. Well, those who are visiting can't walk among us because they can't breathe our atmosphere, which is why there is a hybridization program underway. But they are physical entities. They are not multidimensional beings. They are not spiritual agents.
Came here in physical craft?
That's right. And they're motivated by the same things that motivate us. And so we're dealing with a physical reality. In fact, it's interesting when you think about this in terms of nature. I mean, nature, one of the aspects of nature, laws of nature, is competition and intervention. I mean, species intervene upon one another. And now we, who have lived in isolation for a very long time, are now facing competition from beyond.
Let's talk,
could be expected.
Can, Marshall, about this 10 points of the allies of humanity that they've basically have given you. These 10 points were created for what reason?
Well, these 10 points were actually, I wrote these points in order to clarify what the briefings were actually communicating, because
It's the Cliff Notes version.
It's kind of the Cliff Notes version. It is. But to actually read the briefings and to hear their regard for us, which is very high, they actually claim that on a spiritual level, we're pretty advanced, because other technological races in the universe have become entirely secular, and some of these races have never had a religion. And so we actually, because we've been able to keep our spiritual traditions alive, because the power and presence of knowledge within us hasn't been killed, it's not dead yet, we actually represent a real promise for other races. And I think that that is one of the reasons that the allies do value us in our potential. If we can deal with our own environmental problems here on Earth, and if we can keep ourselves from giving away our sovereignty to foreign and intervening races in the interim.
All right, let's go through some of the points, if we can. What do you see as the most pressing problem?
The most pressing problem regarding contact is we're facing intervening forces who are here to take advantage of a weak and divided humanity, and that we are not recognizing the nature of their presence and the purpose.
If we can't,
this is a premature contact, and I want to make this point because I think it's important here. The briefings indicate that we're not really ready for contact.
Do you think we're not?
Humanity is not ready for contact.
Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that, because we do not have the species maturity to face a greater community of intelligent life as with the strength, unity, and necessary discernment we would need. We're divided. We're bogged down. We're actually losing ground here on Earth, and this makes us tremendously vulnerable to foreign intervention and persuasion. And this is one of the things that the Allies of Humanity briefings warn us about. They say if we deplete our resources, we will put ourselves in a position of extreme vulnerability and powerlessness in the universe.
And those resources they believe to be oil, I would assume.
Well, certainly. All the things that sustain a human civilization. energy resources, food resources, water, all the things now that are moving into a crisis condition all around the world.
Is it because we have too many people?
We are overusing and misusing our natural inheritance in this world, and certainly a growing population requires that we cease our endless conflicts and that we begin to distribute equally these kinds of resources that are sustaining for human civilization. Otherwise, we are going to drive ourselves into a kind of permanent decline.
But they're not advocating, let's say, reducing the 6.5 billion of us down to 500 million like some would like.
They don't make any recommendations about that. And certainly, if that were to be done, it would have to be done over time in an ethical manner. But they do claim that we have the solutions for all of our problems right here on Earth. And they warn us against accepting extraterrestrial technology. Because
against accepting it? Why?
Against accepting it. Because if we accept that technology, one, it will be turned into weapons research immediately by the competing governments of the world. It will make us dependent upon any race that provides this technology to us, therefore undermining, you know, our self-determination, our sovereignty within this world, because when you become dependent upon foreign technology, you become dependent on those foreign powers that provide it.
So you don't think ET technology will solve our problems? You think it'll add to it?
I think ET technology will complicate our situation and add to our problems immensely. It's extremely unwise, because we could end up in the future, you know, giving away the keys to our kingdom, you know, for trinkets from space. And as the native peoples of the world who are uneducated regarding the greater community in which we live, who do not yet have the criteria to determine friend from foe in the universe, and who are in a position to be easily persuaded or manipulated by intervening forces, it would be extremely unwise for us to accept gifts and promises from forces that we do not know and have not proven themselves to be trustworthy.
There are some who believe that we have captured craft, downed craft, we've reversed technology. Do you think this has happened?
Oh, it probably has happened. But nonetheless, if we're offered technology, then it's an inducement. And if it's an inducement from a foreign race who seeks to gain ascendancy and control in our world, then we're putting ourselves in jeopardy by receiving things like this. Anything that we capture, that's a different story. I mean, that actually could help us accelerate our technology, which will be important.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. They should step in, Marshall.
Now, the Allies of Humanity should step in?
Yes.
Well, it's interesting why they say they won't, because they say if humanity is going to be a free race in the universe, it must establish its unity and power in the universe.
Yeah, but already, as you say, there's a hybridization program underway. How are we going to stop that?
We stop that by carrying out the steps that the Allies briefings indicate, which begins with discernment and education. As long as we are unaware that this is happening in our midst, or as long as we are falling under persuasion that this is happening to our benefit, this will continue basically unimpeded. The intervention that's occurring in the world today will establish its network of supporters and apologists, and there will be very few critics. Now, because this is depending on human allegiance and acquiescence, that allegiance and acquiescence must stop. And I think that is the core message, you know, that I want to communicate tonight, because humanity is in a very vulnerable position right now, and there are very powerful influences in our midst that we don't understand, that we have not adapted to. So the briefings indicate, and I hope we can get into this tonight, the importance of knowledge, because the universe that we're entering into in the greater community is an environment of tremendous influence.
But knowledge in what facet?
So I'm going to get to that in a moment.
Right.
This environment of influence, the ability to influence the thinking, perceptions, and feelings of others, represents a kind of power that we as human beings have only begun to explore. I mean, certainly influence is carried out in every household in America and by every government in our world.
Sure.
But the kind of influence that we're facing is of a much more powerful and focused nature. And the one thing within us that cannot be influenced, the one part of our deeper nature that cannot be influenced, is represented by this deeper intelligence called knowledge. The more connected you are to this knowledge, the more free you are from any kind of influence, be it human or extraterrestrial. And we know here on Earth the power of influence that's being generated by governments and commercial forces. And it's tremendous in terms of governing how people think and what they do and how they perceive things. We're entering now a more potent environment of influence. So I'd like to read you this passage. This is from the first set of briefings, on the briefing called The Threshold, A New Promise for Humanity. And I'd like to read this now. Quote, "You are far behind the visitors in your technological development, so you must rely upon knowledge. It is the greatest force in the universe, and your visitors do not use it. It is your only hope."
But the knowledge for what, Marshall?
We're talking about knowledge now, not in terms of information, but as a deeper intelligence that is within us, that it makes us immune to influence. If the intervention is relying upon influence to achieve its goal, then our ability to resist that influence is absolutely fundamental. And this is the same knowledge that, of course, enables us to make wise decisions in our lives, in our relationships, in all aspects of our lives. This knowledge is not the things that are usually associated with it. It's not ideas. It's not information. It's not a system of belief. It more represents the deeper mystery of our life. And I think that we're tuning in to this greater community reality because of knowledge, because we know it's important, because we know it's significant, because we know that it's going to have a tremendous impact on our future and destiny. The Allies talk about knowledge as the most potent force in the universe, and that those who possess it can see and know things that others cannot see and know, and that they are immune from the kinds of influence that's being put upon humanity by foreign powers, and even beyond the influence that we exert upon one another for various, unethical or devious reasons. It is beyond the mind that we think with. And here we get into the power and importance of human spirituality as playing a key role in our ability to prepare for a greater community of intelligent life.
Yeah, but you're saying that those that have intervened do not possess this?
They're not using knowledge or they wouldn't be intervening, because knowledge is entirely ethical. And so if you're going to do something against the interests of another world or another nation, then that would not be guided by knowledge.
So you're saying we've got some unethical visitors here.
We have unethical visitors. And what they're doing in the world demonstrates that.
But if we can't see them, if we don't know where they are, how can you combat it?
Well, they're leaving a lot of evidence about their presence. And we're knowing more and more because people are beginning to disclose their own experience. Because when we talk about cover-up, there's actually three kinds of cover-up. There's the cover-up, the government cover-up. There's the extraterrestrial cover-up. And then there's the public's cover-up. And I think that the people know more about what is really happening with the intervention than even the government, that we continue to look towards for revelation. And this is going to be revealed largely through people's experience, what people are seeing, knowing, and experiencing in their sightings and contact with this extraterrestrial presence.
All right, we'll talk more about this when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Well, what do you think about all this? We're going to take your calls next with our guest, Marshall V. Beyond Summers, and I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Marshall, is there a possibility that this has been a dream of yours that happened as opposed to a real event of communication to you?
Well, in my experience, it most certainly was a real event. And after I received the briefings, I began to study the UFO literature, and I saw the correlation was very, very strong. And I saw that basically, there's four questions that we have to deal with regarding the extraterrestrial presence in the world today. What is happening? Why is it happening? What does it mean? And how do we prepare? And I began to see that, we really have to address the second three questions. Why is it happening? What does it mean? And how do we prepare? And the process of preparation is very important. And I think that we were talking about knowledge previously. This thing about knowledge is very important because it's the thing that gives us our core strength, both as individuals and as a race of people, as a human family. And if the human family can see that we have to unite, we have to be united in the universe. We cannot be a set of warring factions. We're going to have to unite to restore the planet, and we're going to have to unite at least to a greater degree than we are today to be able to engage with intelligent life in the universe. And this requires, I think, the most important preparation facing us at this time.
You know, Wernher von Braun had said a long, long time ago that he believes that there will be a false attack of an extraterrestrial presence and possibility to create war and control. This has been a possibility. I mean, this sounds like it's possible, yet you believe it's real.
Well, indeed. One has to wonder regarding events in the world today. Are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. One has to wonder regarding events in the world today how easily it would be for an extraterrestrial presence to trigger another major war. And when you look at the Iraq war, for example, I mean, certainly human beings are capable of doing immensely foolish and unwise things. But the fact that we are driving ourselves into ever greater conflict and depletion in the world can only benefit an extraterrestrial presence and strengthen their position as the future overlords of our world. And I know that sounds very extreme to say that, but when we're dealing with the history of intervention and the reality of intervention, we have to talk in those kinds of terms. The intervention is supporting human conflict in the extent that it's weakening the strongest powers, sending or encouraging the United States to go into Iraq into an unwinnable, intractable conflict that weakens its allies, weakens its world support, drains it economically, divides its people. I mean, this is a very powerful form of divide and conquer, and we are very susceptible to that kind of persuasion. In the greater community, I mean, if you can influence what people think and believe, and you can do that extremely effectively without them ever knowing you're doing that, then you can control the behavior of others. And this represents a tremendous power of influence in the greater community.
Do these allies of humanity talk about the future? Do they see the future?
They talk about the future of humanity and a decision that we have to make, whether we're going to unite and face the greater community as a human family, or if we're going to go into a permanent decline. And if we go into a permanent decline, sooner or later, we will fall under foreign domination. And so we're facing a critical threshold right at this time in how we're going to regard the great ways of change, how we're going to regard how we function as a family of beings in this world, and how we're going to deal with the reality of contact. Contact now is not happening on our terms. It's happening on the terms of those who are intervening in our world. How are we going to deal with that? There's a very interesting document called the Declaration of Human Sovereignty that was drafted based upon the United States Declaration of Independence. It could be viewed at www.humansovereignty.org. And it begins to lay out, I think in a beginning way, the kinds of rules of engagement that we have to establish regarding all present and future visitations to our world. And in order to do that, we have to really see the self-destructive nature of war and conflict. If we continue in war and conflict, we will fall under foreign domination. It's just inevitable. So the Allies paint a picture of two possible outcomes for us. And it's really up to us, because we're creating the condition here on Earth that makes intervention possible and that can assure its success.
Let's take some calls. Let's go to West of the Rockies. Well, let's go first-time caller, first of all. Josh, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's up?
Good. You're in Portland, right?
Yeah, Portland, Oregon.
Right.
I've been listening to the Coast to Coast since I was seven.
How old are you now?
17.
All right.
Well, I had a question for Marshall, because I've been following the kind of first contact or ordeal for a while, and I've been really interested in it, because when I was, like, really little, I had a lot of kind of UFO experiences, and I've always been really close to that. And but what you're talking about, I've heard that, you know, we have to be careful about who we trust. You know, we put our keys to the kingdom to, you know, to these visitors that our government or authorities have been already establishing contact with. And then there's, you know, the Disclosure Project and all of that that's pushing to get all this information out to the public and to prepare the people for contact. But do you think that there are maybe like higher dimensional entities, maybe not necessarily the physical 3D beings that you're talking about, who are aware of what's going on and who, you know, are really on our side and are really for helping humanity and the ascension of our planet and to unite as a humanity and to really kind of join our galactic brothers and sisters, you know, a galactic federation or Ashtark Man. I don't know what you'd call it, but do you think that while there may be multiple species or 3D extraterrestrials who not necessarily have the better intentions, that there may be some higher dimensional forces that kind of have more authority over these, who are seemingly breaking the universal laws of free will and sovereign, you know.
Well, I would think he thinks more physical, Josh, instead of dimensional. Would you not, Marshall?
Well, I think Josh brings up an important question, and that's when we look at higher dimensional beings really supporting human unity, human freedom, human sovereignty, entering into a very complex, competitive environment within the greater community in which we have always lived. And the angelic source of the greater community way of knowledge, which I consider to be a new message for humanity, absolutely abdicates human unity, freedom, and sovereignty, so that all that has been contributed to the human family can come into a greater fulfillment. I mean, the greater community we're facing, in essence, is a maturing process for us. You know, we cannot be reckless and foolish and self-destructive in the face of the greater community. And it is actually going to require us to unite and to begin to value our freedom and to value the world we live in, because it's interesting that the briefings mention the three things that every free nation in the universe must have, or must have to be free, and that is unity, self-sufficiency, and extreme discretion.
Next up, let's go west of the Rockies. Ben in Las Vegas, you're on. Hey, Ben.
Hi.
How's things going in Las Vegas?
Going pretty good. I guess moved here. It's a little warm right now.
Yeah, it's hot.
I'm listening to your guest. I'm sorry I forgot his name, but I'm
Marshall.
Marshall. Most of what I'm hearing isn't ringing real true with me, and I'm thinking that you're getting like a good cop, bad cop scenario. I think these two races of individuals, the one that's giving the information and the others, I think they're on the same side.
Well, actually, and this is a point, I think, of confusion about the allies that's going to be difficult to resolve, is that one group is telling us not to support intervention, to oppose intervention as being premature contact, saying that we're not ready for contact. And then you have the other group encouraging intervention, saying that they're here to provide wisdom, guidance, and peace to a warlike humanity. So their objectives are completely in opposition to one another. One is warning us against intervention, and the other is promoting intervention. And one is telling us that we can solve our problems, and the intervening forces are saying that we cannot solve our problems. So their entire agenda and the fact that one is intervening and one is not intervening sets them in complete contrast to one another.
Well, that's if they're telling the truth. And salvation by knowledge, I mean, that's a pretty old scenario. They used to call it Gnosticism.
All right, thank you. Let's go next. First-time caller line, Kyle in Portland. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Everybody's calling from Portland tonight. Go ahead.
Right. That's why I tried to go ahead and call. I had an interesting comment I'd like to make about everything he's been saying in the past 45 minutes. It almost seems like that everything he said and brought about, it almost seems kind of quantum in a sense that almost maybe it's a message from the past, because it almost seems like all that, everything you've been talking about has already been occurring up to this point today.
What do you think about that, Marshall?
Well, I'm not sure what Kyle means specifically as being referenced from the past.
All right, maybe go ahead. Carl, elaborate a little bit more.
It almost seems like everything that you brought about tonight has, in one way or another, occurred. Maybe in the past.
Or you mean is occurring?
Almost like it's a message from, like, maybe like 100 years ago or something like that. Like, it's already, those things have already been happening.
Or they're happening.
And they almost as if they have been happening.
Well, I don't know about that, Marshall.
Well, I'm not sure how to respond to Kyle's question, but the things that that we're talking about are definitely happening in the world today, and that an intervention such as happening in the world today wouldn't have happened 100 years ago, because at this present time, humanity has created an international network of communication and commerce that foreign races can use. We're beginning to establish new forms of power that could challenge any intervention in the future, and we're at the threshold. We have the risk of, you know, destroying the real value of this world through environmental depletion. And so all these three things have generated intervention at this time. Whereas before there was visitation, now we're dealing with intervention, and they're very different.
By the way, those of you trying to get a hold of Jordan Maxwell's website, jordanmaxwell.com, something has happened there. You get a message, forbidden server, you can't get through. I don't know what happened to him, and he doesn't answer his phone now. Strange things sometimes, Marshall. Strange things indeed. East of the Rockies, Kathy in Philadelphia. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. My question is basically two parts. First part, being the bearer, and I would imagine the you've practiced these steps of knowledge, I wanted to know how successful were you, and did this give the results that you think it will give to each one of us as far as knowledge we wouldn't be able to get on our own, the discernment and knowing who's friend from foe. Is it possible that you are still in communication of the allies through this method?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I believe the first question, Kathy, was, you know, my own experience of knowledge. I think that knowledge for me has given me so many benefits in life. It's brought my beautiful wife to me, who I have been with for 24 years. It has brought me a beautiful son. It has guided me away from certain things and towards certain things. It has just proven to be so immensely powerful. So when we talk about knowledge, when we bring it down to our daily life in the world, it's the most powerful guiding principle within us. It's really how God speaks to us. It's through this deeper intelligence called knowledge. This is our spirituality. This is our spiritual intelligence. My contact with the allies has, I have not heard from them for quite a long time. They're no longer in our vicinity. But the revelation of the greater community way of knowledge continues. It's just overflowing. And the newmessage.org website has, you can go and read this. I have entire books up online for people to read that are revealing the power and the presence of knowledge within each of us. And this is what makes us strong. This is what makes us whole. This is what gives us the power to discern truth from falsity. This is what gives us immunity from deception. And we're certainly living in a world full of deception. And ultimately, this is what gives us our core strength as a human family. And I think what the allies are really here to do is to affirm that strength within us and tell us that we have to build that strength and rely upon it, because it holds the key to whether we will remain a free and sovereign race within a greater community of intelligent life.
You know, you talked about disclosure, government disclosure. Are we talking about the... See, I believe governments know. You know, we've had these incredible cases slowly released by the British government, the French. I think governments know that they're not fully disclosing. But are we talking about the same ET race as these that are intervening now, or is that a different one?
No. I mean, we're talking about one set of groups that are in the world and have been in the world.
Right now,
exactly. And what the government knows is dealing with these groups. These are the physical
so why don't they tell
intervening
us?
Forces that everyone has had to deal with. I'm sorry?
Why don't they tell us? Why don't they reveal our government now? Why don't they just simply say, hey, this is what's been going on?
Well, that's a valuable question. I think when you ask that question, you have to think of, one, the public's response, two, what the government would have to reveal about itself to reveal the truth about the extraterrestrials. And it's interesting in our current events, what's coming out in the face of, you know, the banking crisis and the credit crisis and the housing crisis is showing immense human incompetence and corruption. And the government does not want to reveal its incompetence and corruption, and it also doesn't want to reveal its deepest secrets, which many of which are associated with the extraterrestrial presence in the world today. And so I think that the likelihood of the government revealing everything it knows about extraterrestrials is highly unlikely. And I wonder, and maybe this is a question we can talk about, is many of the people who are very distrustful of the government, or skeptical of the government, seem all too willing to accept whatever the government would say regarding disclosure. And I think it would be very difficult to get a real and complete picture in any kind of disclosure from the government.
So I think those people, though, truly believe the government will never disclose, Marshall.
I don't think it will ever disclose everything we need to know. But I don't think we need the government to know the truth about the extraterrestrial presence in the world today.
No, but we do need some good whistleblowers.
We do need good whistleblowers, but we also need the people who have been influenced and affected, who have been impacted by the extraterrestrial presence, to begin to have a place to share their experiences. This is not a mystery. I want to make this point. This is so important. This is an event of nature. This is competition in nature. We're dealing with competition from beyond the world. We know what competition is in nature. We've been living in a world of competition. We have a history of competition. We have a history of intervention. And so I think the people hold a greater secret within knowledge within themselves than anything the government could reveal.
We're going to be back with some more questions with Marshall Vian Summers in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And also, isn't it unusual that Jordan Maxwell's server and the NighthawkZone.com folks' server would go down at the same time? And welcome back, Marshall. Some more of these 10-point summaries before we take some more calls. And also, where do you get your books, by the way?
The books can be ordered. Go to my website, www.alliesofhumanity.org. They can be ordered through any bookstore or any online bookstore, such as Amazon.com and so forth. And my books are there. And also, if you visit the website, for instance, the first edition of the Allies of Humanity is up online for free. You can read the entire...
And speak up a little bit more, Marshall.
I'm sorry. The first volume of the Allies Briefings is on the Allies of Humanity website at www.alliesofhumanity.org, and viewers can read the book online, or they can order it through any bookstore.
All right, back to the phones we go. Maggie in Tempe, Arizona. Hello, Maggie.
Hi. I just wanted to ask you, Marshall, are you familiar with the Alex Collier material? Because the message seems so similar.
No, I'm not. I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, and the message that I get from that is that I find it very empowering, and I feel that the message that you're giving us, or whoever is giving us, is that we have more power than we realize we have.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And yeah, we have a great spiritual power, and we don't realize our own strength. And it has to be brought to the fore now. We are living in a time of immense change and challenge. And this is a time for everyone to step forward with the gifts that they have brought into this world And I think that is the greater message of my work, is contribution to a world in need and the realization of the power that we've been imbued with.
Is there a downside on any of this, Marshall? Something we should be concerned about?
Well, I think the risks are very great. I mean, the risks of facing a world in decline are very great, and we need a new way forward. I mean, clearly, if we continue to behave in the ways that we have, fighting and competing over resources, nations trying to undermine one another, then, you know, we're not going to make it. We're really going to go into a state of permanent decline. And if we do not establish our intentions to be a free race in the universe, if we do not offset intervention, if we do not make it known to any power watching us that we are a free people and we are a self-determined people, then, you know, we're going to have great difficulty. And I think the conditions that we live in really call for our integrity and our strength to come forward. We've created an environment where we must now be able to respond effectively to our environment and ultimately to the greater community itself.
Let's go to Portland, Oregon again. You're on the air with us. Hey, Trace.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Yeah, listen, I mean, this is kind of all related into everything that you guys are discussing tonight. I'd like to actually address this issue of this constant feeling that you've been mentioning, you know, like the feeling like something's coming up.
Yes.
Every time we talk about the feeling, we always mention 2012. And it's, you'll see the connection when we look at 2012 and the end of the Mayan calendar and the kind of influence that an author like Eric von Daniken believes that extraterrestrials may have had in South American civilizations. This feeling that we're having, I strongly believe, is really just the feeling that it's really more of an end of an era. You know, like rather than I mean, we've become so accustomed to our North American to our North American way of life that we've accepted that this is sort of the end all and the be all, that our iPods, our cell phones, our stock market, the way that we deal with things, the way that we handle ourselves, the kind of ideological beliefs that Americans invoke in America. This comes down to a political and a social level as well. We kind of believe that this is really it. You know what I mean? Like, can you really imagine a world without America? I mean, really, really think about that for a second. A world without Western civilization. This feeling that you're addressing, I believe, is just really the end of an era. America's time is really coming to an end. The world's tallest building is in Dubai. The world's largest mall is in Macau. You know, the international languages of business have switched from English and French to English, Spanish, Arabic, and Cantonese and Mandarin. You know, we're in such a changing times, and now we just might even have a black president, something that was completely ridiculous 30 years ago, 10 years ago, you know what I mean? It was a ridiculous thought 10 years ago, and I know because I lived in Los Angeles around the time of the L.A. riots and all that, and the belief that we'd ever have the potential to have a black president was absolutely ridiculous.
And he's got a great chance.
Oh, exactly. He has an amazing chance, you know? But coming down to the point of the end of an era, it's hard to let go of what we're used to. And so to even, you know, like you turn on your TV, you see a ton of evangelists saying it's the end of times, there's all this chaos, gas prices, blah, 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 blah. This is just it. Capitalism is really coming to an end. And if we look into a codex, a Mayan codex called the Indigo Prophecy. And again, it kind of relates just because of the kind of influence that certain theoretical communities have come to believe that Mayan civilization had some sort of extraterrestrial influence and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
There was something called the Indigo Prophecy. It was a codex, and it was a prophecy that was very similar to the Book of Revelations. It was a prophecy that indicated that we would have one part of the world would be full of chaos and panic and would essentially be full of darkness, and the other, one is darkness, one is light, one is pure, one is evil.
Well, don't you have to have the positive with the negative?
There's always a positive to the negative, and this is ancient Gnostics.
Yes.
This goes back to the Babylonian era. We've always had Gnostics in the form of positive and negative. There's always a God, and there's always a devil. There's always that feeling of fear and that feeling of security. There's always that feeling of good and that bad nature, right?
Well, if this message, Marshall, that these allies of humanity bring, I mean, what do they think of this planet, truly?
Oh, well, the allies' briefings show an immense regard for this world and immense regard for humanity. And they constantly emphasize, you know, that we are not using our greatest strength and ability. We do not realize how incredible this world is. If we had a real understanding of life in the universe, we would never denigrate this planet. We would behave entirely differently than we have and that we do.
A lot of evil people.
Well,
but I think there's more good.
We're all involved in this together, and certainly, if I may respond to one point that the questioner brought up.
Sure.
The end of an era. If we look at this from a greater community perspective, this is an end of an era in the sense that our isolation in the universe is over. It is over. From here on, we are going to have to deal with intervention, influence, competition, communication, contact. We're going to have this ongoing. And I think on a larger scale, beyond, you know, the dynamics between nations, between East and West and North and South, the human family itself is emerging into a greater community of intelligent life. And the books that I've written, Wisdom from the Greater Community, which is in two volumes, brings a wisdom from beyond the world to us to prepare us for probably the biggest transition that we have ever faced. This is it. I mean, we are literally standing at the threshold, and I think the Allies is just bearing testimony to that, in that so many of us feel this immense sense of change, immense sense of impending change, however we might interpret it, whether we interpret it historically, whether we interpret it culturally, politically, we are at some kind of major threshold. And what in my writings and greater community spirituality and the greater community way of knowledge, it really points to the end of isolation for humanity. And that is going to change religion. That is going to change how we live, how we perceive ourselves, and how we must behave going into the future.
Let's go east of the Rockies. Your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi, George. How you doing? This is Keith from Chesapeake, Virginia.
Hey, Keith. Thanks.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Take
it away.
Hey there, Marshall. How are you?
Hello, Keith.
Great. Hey, I had some questions for you. First, I wanted to kind of lay out the basis of my calls. I had some close encounters with UFOs in my life that were approximately 300 feet from me. My second sighting that I had in later years was exactly how I asked for it to happen, which was pretty phenomenal to me. I believe I've had some type of mental contact with other beings, you know, in the realm of my sightings.
And what kind of contact was that?
Well, it was some type of mental. There wasn't actually physical, or I wasn't abducted or anything like that.
Friendly, though? Good information, or was it negative?
Well, no information, really. Just I was trying to find out, you know, where they came from and if it was real, and that was my confirmation of my second sighting, because my first sighting happened when I was growing up, and we were camping outside, me and my friend, my best friend, in his backyard outside, and we it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. You know how kids are when they play. We you know, we were goofing off at 3 a.m. in the morning. We were about like 12 or 13, and then we were just sitting out on his porch outside. Of course, this wasn't a screen porch. We were about 300 feet or so from the cornfield, and my friend screamed out to me, said, "Keith, look, you know." And we looked up to the cornfield, and there was a kind of like a picture book or Steven Spielberg UFO hovering above the cornfield with all the lights like one of the in the Close Encounters movies, hovering out there, and it is probably, we saw it for 15 seconds, and I was frightened to death. I pulled the covers over my head and kind of peeked out, and then it whisked away. And then years, it just one of those things that always haunted me, I guess you could say, for lack of better words, for years. And I
did you get a message from all of this?
Well, later on in my years, I'm 52 now, but
yeah, you're a baby.
And and later on in my years, it's been something that I've always been trying to attempt some type of contact, and I've always been a stargazer. I've been involved with astronomy clubs and things like that, and just asked questions up into the heavens before, and basically said if you were real, or you know, I'd like to see this, and I asked for. Because I was curious on how the UFO craft flew, and I was trying to ask where they were from, where you came from, and I was kind of directed to the Pleiades star cluster in my in mental thoughts. And I had asked, you know, for another sighting. I asked them to, I'd like to see a UFO without any lights on. You know, and then when I was 26 living in Laurel, Delaware, that was when I had my second sighting, and that's exactly what happened. I saw a craft that, as I was coming home from work, it's really weird, a craft that when I was coming back to my apartment, I crossed over the bridge by the lake, and I looked in my rearview mirror, and I thought what I saw was a truck or something, like a pickup truck, coming up to me close in my rearview mirror, and I was afraid that maybe he was drunk or something by the way the lights looked, and thought he might hit me.
A drunk E.T. Marshall, I guess the point, too, that Keith's saying is that he's been looking for these answers, where they're coming from, and looks like they're not telling him.
Yes. Well, this is. First of all, I'd just like to acknowledge that I felt strongly when Keith was speaking to us that he's really a greater community person. He's a person who has an inherent connection to life beyond this world. And I think that many people in the world today have this connection, and yet it's very confusing with our own sense, our normal sense of ourselves as human beings, and our normal sense of ourselves, you know, living in societies and so forth, that we have this mysterious connection or sense of destiny to life beyond our world. And, you know, I want to make it really clear that throughout my writings, and the point I'd like to make tonight is, you know, our destiny is in the greater community. I mean, this is where we're heading. This is where humanity can fulfill itself. And yet there's very challenges to crossing this threshold, and I think that's what the allies are really talking about.
Yeah, but what's disappointing is that you get visited, you being me and you and everyone else, by ETs that aren't really friendly, that have their own agenda. And to me, that's disappointing that they'd be out there coming.
And it sets a tremendous quandary. I mean, the sightings that I've had, it's very troubling because you're seeing something that's very, very different, and yet you have no answers.
You would think if they had the technology and evolved to get here, they would have changed. So it doesn't sound like they have. So what does that tell you about us?
Well, technology doesn't change who you are.
No.
I mean, and so here we are.
But knowledge should.
Exactly. I mean, that's why when the allies talk about knowledge being the most powerful force in the universe, they're talking about this is the thing that really strengthens you and uplifts you and enables you to function in a much higher capacity. Because, I mean, technology in the universe, in the greater community in which we live, is something that can be purchased and stolen and copied and so forth. But knowledge is really the tool for seeing and knowing and discerning. And that power is something that even few in the universe have. The allies talk about how rare freedom is in the universe, which is something surprising. We would think that advanced technological societies would have outgrown deviousness and selfishness, but it's just not the case. I mean, technology does not raise the moral and ethical dimensions of an individual. It takes a whole other power within us to do that, and that is the power of knowledge.
If you were around during the days that Michael Rennie came down in a spaceship and landed in Washington, D.C., and unfortunately they shot him the day the Earth stood still. You remember that one, right?
Oh, gee. I don't, one of the classics. I don't recall that myself.
You remember the robot?
Oh, the robot, yes.
And all that?
Mm-hmm.
What would you have done if you were in that audience and then some soldier took a pot shot at him, this alien walking down the ramp?
I'm not sure how to respond to that question. I think, you know, showing hostility in that situation is certainly unwarranted. But again, it's the reality shift that is so dramatic for us, is that we're not prepared for the reality that we live in a greater community. And I think that education really needs to happen. I mean, that's part of the preparation that we need to have. Otherwise, sightings and encounters have an immense shock value. And when people are shocked, many people respond violently to that.
Website, which ones do you recommend again?
I recommend the Allies of Humanity website.
.org?
.org. Okay. And the New Message, www.newmessage.org. And there you'll see the writings about greater community spirituality, the greater community way of knowledge, and it just covers a tremendous number of really important subjects.
And the books are available where again?
They're available through any bookstore or online through Amazon.com and so forth.
And will the messages come back? You said they haven't talked to you in a while.
They haven't, but I think that that may change in the near future, because I think there's a different set of circumstances now emerging in our world with the decline of our environment. And that sets us into really a different stage in this whole encounter we're having with intelligent life beyond our world.
All right, very good. Marshall Vian Summers, the Allies of Humanity, trying to sort through this and save this planet, but maybe we have to be the ones to save it. After all, maybe that's the big message. Well, when I come right back, we'll have open lines. Plus, I'd like you to share, because I'm one of those feel-good nights, I want you to share a story of one of the best things that ever happened to you or that someone did for you. I want to see if there's any goodness left out there. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.